It is promised. It is done. She extended an imperious hand, and again I hastened to help her rise, but this time I drew her plumpness smoothly to me, and was about to clap her buttocks and make a meal of her, but she held her face away, looking mischievous. "And until the silver is in my treasury, I hold a hostage, do I not?" She flirted her lips across mine. "Now, you must take counsel with my commanders." Any doubts I might have had about the military bandobast of the Wallugallas were banished entirely in the next few hours when I conferred with their commanders. They were as expert and brisk in planning as their queen had been in negotiation, grasped Napier's requirements at once, and knew exactly how to satisfy them. By the time we were done, I was confident that whatever the hazards of taking Magdala, the Gallas would do their part to the letter. There were four of them in the great airy apartment, where Fazel, their general-in-chief, had his headquarters. He was a mercenary of the Amoro Galla tribe, notorious for their bravery, ferocity, and hatred of Christians. And didn't he look it? He was a tall, grizzled veteran, whose hawk profile was marred by a dreadful sword cut, which had cleft both cheeks and the bridge of his nose. His style was all Gardee, sharp with authority and sparing with words. His two immediate subordinates were surprisingly young, hard-case stalwarts commanding infantry and cavalry respectively, full of bounce and confidence, of which Fazel was sourly tolerant. Not a bad sign. I don't remember their names. Fourth man in was Mastiat's son, Ahmed, a lively, handsome stripling who had inherited his mother's lazy smile without her indolence, for he was restless with energy. He seemed to be Fazel's ADC. In attendance, there were half a dozen scribes taking notes. What impressed me at first sight, even more than the men, was the great scale model, 6 feet by 3, which occupied the centre of the room. It was an exact representation of Magdala and the country round, and beat any sand table I'd ever seen. I doubt if any military academy of Europe or America could have shown better. And these were the primitive aborigines whom Punch depicted as nigger minstrels. I made a sketch of it, and if you study it along with my description, you'll understand why I examined it with mounting alarm. For it was clear to me that if Theodore defended his amber like the professional soldier he was reputed to be, Napier's command was looking disaster in the face. Until now, you see, all I knew of Magdala was what the croakers said, that it was impregnable if resolutely defended. But that's been an old soldier's tale since Joshua's day, and I'd been ready to believe that the shave was exaggerated. I wasn't prepared for that sand table, if it was accurate. Fazel swore it was to the inch, having been made by their best engineers and artists months earlier, when Mastiat had contemplated an attack on the place.
"And would have taken it, garrisoned by sheep as it was," cries young Ahmed. "But Menelek and Gobazi came snapping at our ankles like the dogs they are."
"I could take it now, Prince, if Her Majesty wishes," brags the infantry waller with a cocky grin at me. "Why leave it for the British, who may not restore it to Her Majesty afterwards?"
"Since when are you a politician?" growls Fazel. "Keep to your trade, and let your queen mind hers."
"Oh, give him his way, Lord General," cries the cavalry chap. "Let's see him pit his skill against Theodore's."
He turned to me.
"Given leave, my horsemen would have cut the Emperor's rabble to pieces before they crossed the Bekello."
"Silence, fools!" growls Fazel. "Who are you to dare to reproach Her Majesty?"
The lads protested that they'd meant no such thing, while I sought confirmation of the bad news.
"Theodore is in Magdala already."
"He reached the Amba 3 days ago, and camps his army on his Lamgi under the Magdala cliff," says Fazel. "But his guns are not yet emplaced. When they and his great mortar have been sighted, our scouts will bring us instant word, which we shall pass to your Deja's neighbor. Thus he will know which height Theodore will defend."
He leaned forward and tapped 3 features in the model with his pointer.
"Fala, Selassie, Magdala."
"Look at my map and you'll see them. 3 flat-topped peaks like the legs of an upturned stool, surrounded by mountains, a wilderness of rock and ravine worthy of Afghanistan. A saddle of land almost 2 miles long connects Fala and Selassie, and beyond lay the plain of Islamgi and Theodore's army. I walked round the table, weighing it all, and saw that there was only one way for Napier to advance after he crossed the Bekello. I ain't being clever. Any fool could have seen it. The road that Theodore